And commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we are at 907-458-TALK. That is 907-458-8255. Two no-shows to me today. Two so far. Will Stapp, he's still in, Representative Will Stapp, he is going to be joining us eventually. He's in meetings with Glenn Farm this morning and is late getting here. And then Glenn Anderson, he wanted to come on and talk about the auction that's going online at Auction Online or wherever it's at. It's all over the radio stations here. And neither of them are joining me yet in the purple padded room. So it's just us. It's a Friday. It's beautiful. It's a Fairbanks summer that's starting in June, finally. Would have been nice if it was started in May, but no. But anyway, we're going to get through that. And we're always going to be discussing living through that winter of 25-26. Yeah, that was a tough one. Then some of us say, yeah, it reminded me of the winter of 71-72. But if you live through this one, you stand for the next one, hats off to you. Simple as that. So what's going on this weekend? Tonight, the Panners are opening up. I love the Panners. I grew up with the Panners. Got box seats. My dad had box seats for us kids growing up. And so I just look at it as a great way to be in Fairbanks, to be in the summer, sit in a seat, watch baseball, relax, and just enjoy being in Fairbanks, the ambiance, the aura. John Lorke, he's going to be on the radio with us on Monday. He does such a good job. He's really brought the organization back, what they've put into Groudon Park, the turf, the big sign, the seats, the organization. So much is owed to that fine gentleman. And I get to watch baseball in Fairbanks and have a great seat, a great view, great entertainment with wonderful Fairbanksons for half the summer till later July. And it starts tonight at Groudon Memorial Field, whatever you want to call it. And can't wait. And we open against our old heated rivalry that is now our best friend, the Anchorage Glacier Pilots. You know, when I was growing up, we did not like them. They did not like us. That was the first in-state rivalry that there was. And it was great. It was before UAF-UAA hockey. You know, it was a thing. People from Anchorage came to Fairbanks. People from Fairbanks went to Anchorage to watch your baseball teams play. It was great. And so the league wouldn't let us back in because of the Anchorage Bucks. They have a hissy fit of when, prior to John Lorke, the Gold Panthers were pulled out of the Alaska League for whatever reason. Then John Lorke comes back, gets everyone stronger, gets the organization stronger, wants to come back in. And the Anchorage Bucks keep saying no. So last year at the Midnight Sun game, Anchorage came up and played. And it was great. It was great. Then they had Wednesday and Thursday, they played down in Anchorage at the stadium down there, Mulcahy Park. And they're coming up here. It's a 2-2. And then we all go our separate ways, but it's starting back. And I never thought I'd say this. I love the Anchorage Glacier Pilots. You know, just they're looking at the Alaska League, that's not that strong anymore, and they're saying, we, you know, for us to survive, we need let's play Fairbanks. We're, you know, we've shown that it's better if we're with you, but we don't need you. And now for us to come in, this league has to be a little bit stronger, because we've got a pretty good system here that financially works, and we have a beautiful ballpark. And for us to come back into your league, making it our league, you guys need to be better. And Anchorage, Glacier Pilots, hats off to you. You're doing it. You're coming up here. We start tonight, 7 p.m. out at the park. I'm going to get there at 6:30 with my buddy Rob and go get a beer, sit in our seats with smiles on our face, and it starts. Baseball. Yeah, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, but I played baseball growing up. I grew up, you know, across the street at Kiwanis and Lions baseball, over at the Babe Ruth at Arco. Oh, and hey, at the Panther Park. I still can't believe that the New York Yankees didn't pick me up to be their third baseman. You know, they should have been scouting me when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. But no, they didn't. Oh, they're all coming in. Both Will and Glenn are at the same time. You know, they're all late, but, you know, finally. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so you're hearing it live, Fairbanks. Yeah. Okay. So, Glenner, you want to give us a heads up on the
on-air radio auction?
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, for folks that are just now tuning in, the live portion with Dukes ended at 10 a.m., and now you've got a ton of items up for sale at a fraction of the cost. Items you're going to want all summer long anyway. We've got, you know, I've got the guys from Northern Lights Epoxy that do the cool chip floor epoxy, not like the box stuff that you got to redo every 2 years. This is the real deal. If you've got a shop, if you've got a showroom, a garage, a floor, they can do it all. And I didn't know this. They can also do that epoxy flooring on hardwood, laminate, tile. It's pretty cool. We've got fishing charters. We've got whitewater rafting. We've got all of your favorite restaurants. We've got yoga classes for adults and kids, thanks to Karuna Yellowbird. We've got...
Very fine person.
Oh, wonderful.
Very
person.
Fine person.
They've got all their classes, including their energy enhancement room, which heals your body from the inside out. It's amazing.
Wow.
And you can get that at almost half price. Yeah, we've got zip lining. We've got a septic tank that comes with an install from Septic Specialists of Alaska, or maybe just need it pumped out. We've got North Star Honey Wagon in there. Tattoos from Body Piercing Unlimited.
No.
How about they've got this? Have you seen the Alaska Airsoft?
Yeah.
It's a big inside battlefield. You can go in there with a party of 10. We've got a couple of those parties in there valued at like $300 for half price.
How long ago did you move into your new house?
10 years ago.
And I remember you discussing how many components of your new house you bought
from the auction.
Yeah.
Oh, I got the flooring from Plambex in the auction.
Mm-hmm.
I got dirt work from my man Eric Krejci.
Mm-hmm. Great guy.
The great Rob Siebels as well, who I missed dearly. He did some of my gravel work. I had lighting from Tesco in there, the gutters, the carpeting, just anything I could get my hands on from the auction, I got. So I saved thousands of dollars when I built my home, all from that auction. And we do it twice a year, and we have people that save up for this knowing it's stuff they're going to want anyway.
Yeah.
Why not get it at a fraction of the cost? And you can do it right online, AlaskaRadioAuction.com. You can go there right now and see all the items statewide, AlaskaRadioAuction.com. This is our biggest, funnest event. It's a backbreaker for the radio station.
Yeah,
I mean, we all work our butts off.
Yeah, you do.
Stuffing envelopes in the back hallway as I speak. So I'm going to let you guys take over. But yeah, the on-air radio auction, I got to go do stuff with it right now. So thank you, everybody, for participating. Of our wonderful, what a great way to support local businesses as well. Because that's the main, all these small local businesses, They give us these items. We give them advertising, and the listeners
get a discounted price.
It's a win-win-win.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much, Glenner. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have Representative Will Stapp back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
3-year-old Reagan was treated at St. Jude.
Sparkly.
Now she can spend her days playing dress-up.
I look beautiful in this.
Instead of thinking about cancer. The team at St. Jude has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate in the U.S. from 20% to more than 80%, and we won't stop. Let's help more kids just be kids. Learn more at stjude.org. Finding cures, saving children.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. We're here with Adam Callahan, reeled in a 43.2-pound halibut. And when you got to the docks here in Valdez, the derby clerk comes down. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, it was amazing. For one, make sure you have your derby ticket on you. I had to run back to my truck to go and grab it. But it was awesome being able to just, you know, be recognized for something. Makes you feel a little accomplished.
Did you draw a crowd down there at the harbor? I know it's kind of the very beginnings of the summer, but when a fish comes in, usually there are some folks that show up to check it out, right?
Yes, definitely. And I will be one of those looking at the boats come in and seeing if my name comes off that leaderboard. Or hopefully it stays.
Adam, you're a watcher. You're going to watch the Derby Week. I start Sunday and ends on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. So you'll be keeping an eye on that leaderboard to see if you pick up those weekly prizes?
Definitely. Definitely will be on there. It's not always a guarantee, but hopefully.
And have you checked out the prize list on ValdezFishDerbies.com?
Actually, I have not.
Okay. Well, you have to go do that. It's on the Halibut Derby page. There's a little link there, and you can see what it is. Just torture yourself a little bit while you're waiting to see if you hang in there.
I definitely will.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Lows dip down to about 47 overnight under mainly clear skies, northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 67 Friday, lots of sunshine. Lows level off around 47 Friday night, mainly clear skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Will Stapp in the studio here with me. Will.
Mr. Pruitt.
How are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a long
time. I thought being a real estate broker going a million miles an hour in a million directions was difficult, but.
Yeah, I will say, you know, I'm a high energy person. This is, I think, one of the very few periods of my adult life where I actually feel a little tired. So that's how I'm doing, you know. So. Yeah.
Well, you're done with your regular session. Now you're in your special session.
Yeah, special session. And just so everybody understands, that is specifically to work on the LNG pipeline tax abatement bill for the property tax abatement bill. And so just to context here, the governor didn't submit the bill framework to the legislature till the end of March.
You had half the time to really do it.
Yeah, and also, and I know that's from the voter's perspective, I mean, everyone hates special sessions. I hate special session because I am in Juneau and rather than Fairbanks, and I miss all the Gold Panthers games, and it's like 75 degrees, and I can't take my kids to Pioneer Park, so I'm the last person who wants to be in Juneau. But I will say it is good for the public to be able to watch and witness this bill in the light of day with all of the eyes watching it. With the kind of the project, AKLNG project, in the in the in the spotlight, so everyone can kind of get a better understanding of where we're at and how pivotal this tax abatement would be to helping the project economics move forward into a final investment decision. So to me, it'll end up being a better process, even though I hate it, because we actually have public testimony and we have committee meetings and testifying of the experts and all that stuff. So,
You're reading texts. Are they good texts or bad texts?
Yeah, they're. I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound be distracted. They're good texts. They're just working with people and on the developer and other members of the finance committee, because we've been doing a lot of work this week on amending the bill to the developer's liking. So
this is definitely the definition of herding cats.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, this is the definition, and you're only on the House side.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot, as a minority member of the House, dictate what the Senate side has, especially with Stedman and some of the people over there on the finance side.
Yeah. And I try, Bert and I.
Yeah. And no matter what, you're going to have Kathy Geisel and Bill Wilkowski trying to torpedo this no matter what, because they got to be the smartest people in the room. And it's their way or the highway.
Yeah, it's kind of unconscionable. Like, I really kind of hope people, again, the good thing about the special session is the public spotlight. I mean, people need to realize how a lot of these folks are, right? Like, it's a complicated ask from the developer. Like, the AKLNG project, a very complicated project. Mm-hmm. But from the legislative perspective, we are, our framework on this, our role in this right now is, hey, the developer's asking for a property tax abatement and basically a different tax structure to go to a throughput tax rather than a property tax, mm-hmm. right? And the reason they want to do that is because in the event that this is a $40 billion to maybe $55 billion project and it might have cost overruns, so if you keep a property tax structure and you have cost overruns, you just end up stacking a tax or a cost on top of a cost as you're in the construction phase of the project, right? So when I had Larry Persley, Larry Persley's been around a long time. He's actually very pessimistic on a gas line.
Mm-hmm.
And if people know who that is, you'll know. I asked him on the finance committee, because basically all we're debating is like how much government take should we have?
Yeah, what's the government policy on it's not whether the economics are going to work on the construction. It's just, will the economics be knocked out by a tax or tax and non-tax incentive?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can boil this conversation on the gas line down to a really simple question. Mm-hmm. Like, unlike the oil industry, like, currently we don't have a project. There's no gas line.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about getting a gas line. So if you want to create a tax structure that makes the project economics that are already challenged unworkable, then you get 0% of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Exactly right.
So, okay. So, the developers ask, I mean, it's a substantial tax abatement, but the truth is, like, it's not uncommon for these types of complicated projects, especially on the LNG side, to ask for these types of abatements, and even on a throughput-based structure, which is what the volumetric tax is. But they basically just, they're basically just asking, hey, we think we can actually build this thing for the future of Alaska if we get a framework of a tax structure that works for our investors. And this is what they say it is. And, there's like a range of different numbers in there. But basically, they need to be able to finance the project at the lowest amount of cost possible and pay off their debt service. And then you go back to full tax structure, right? So that's kind of what they're looking for. And, the only questions you really got to think about as a legislator in this are, okay, what is my fiduciary responsibility here? What is my risk to the state mm-hmm. in the event that something bad happens? Okay, let's say you pass this bill the way they want it. Number one, they don't build it. That's really sad, but there's no risk to the state, right? It's just you did the best you could. You gave them all the tools in the toolbox and they weren't able to achieve the outcome that you wanted.
Yeah.
The second is like cost overruns. Okay, so if you look at in-state gas cost, what happens if they got a $10 billion cost overrun? Okay. Well, the developer actually worked really well in public testimony and says, hey, we will insulate the Alaskan consumer from a cost overrun on domestic use of gas, right? So our investors will be the ones who bear the financial responsibility for that cost overrun. So like, okay, so that's check. And then they said, by the way, they wouldn't even mind if we put language in the bill that were to do something like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is a huge concession from, and like, to me, it's like, wow, these guys are actually really awesome, right? So that's box two, okay? So if anything happens, you know, the investors are going to bear the financial responsibility of cost structure changes. And then three, community impact funds. There will be some communities that are going to be impacted during the construction phase of the project. So they've developed a mechanism to be able to compensate those municipalities directly at the initial construction phase of the pipeline.
So are they impacted if they're compensating the municipalities? That means they believe that this construction project to me is going to damage them.
Yeah, I don't. I don't necessarily believe you need a community impact fund, which is what they have. But that was a big sticking point between really some of these,
extreme liberals.
Yeah. I was going to say my Democrat friends, but you know what? Again, to the
community impact. Yeah, we're going to have lots of jobs.
Well, and that's like Fairbanks. You know, I tell people it's kind of funny for me because a year and a half ago, and I know you remember this, David Pruse, where I introduced a bill to kind of push for the Fairbanks spur line because mm-hmm. at the time the spur was not part of the project.
Right? Yeah.
And I tell folks there were a lot of people who said that they said, Will, you know, if you stand on this hill and you go fight for the spur line, you might kill the entire AKLNG project. You should just let it go.
You know, I had the same conversation. With, you know, me writing resolutions by the city of mm-hmm. Fairbanks.
Yeah.
We had the same thing.
Same people.
And I told the legislator, look, this is our only shot.
Yeah.
It's our only shot.
Yeah.
If we have to sit there and stop the project for Fairbanks to finally get something, I'm willing to do it. Yeah. We've always heard we'll take care of you later, and it does not work.
Yeah, exactly.
So good on you, Will Stapp.
Yeah, and like I said, there, and that was, you know, people in industry, people I know in town. I mean, it was kind of brutal, the criticism. But I just told them, I said, look, guys, I live here. You live here. David, you know, you have rentals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is a generational opportunity.
It is.
And you can't get left out in the cold.
No.
You know, because that's what would happen. You know?
Yeah.
So I'll credit the developer again. It took a year and a half. You know, I brought those guys up to Fairbanks.
When I was mayor, and we had their first meeting, and you had me proctor it, and it was great, and very informational. And I asked two questions that sort of stunned everyone. One was, when is your go, no go? And they said, on January 1, we'll be ready to go, no go. And two, do you have a Fairbanks field office, a person who's going to be your liaison? And they said, no, we haven't thought about it, but we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And then now they're integrating into Fairbanks. And thanks to you, they really are. And you brought them in to the city of Fairbanks for the first time.
Yeah.
And introduced them.
Yeah, no, it was great. It's been a lot of work. And I just want to credit the Glen Farms people, Brendan and Adam, for like coming to the town. You know, they had, before they came up on that trip, they had a really rough committee meeting in Juneau initially with them in the Senate, right? they got beat up really bad in Senate Resources.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with Kathy?
Yeah.
You have a different expectation?
Yeah, the first of 38 times.
Right? Yeah.
It's like the first hearing, you know. And I remember talking to them, and they're like, well, you know, like we're kind of like a little gun shy about meeting community leaders and stuff like that. And, you know, because it was a real rough hearing. And I told them, guys, look, Fairbanks, you're going to find two things. You're going to find skeptical people who are also the most supportive people who are going to be in your corner.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason is because if you lived here long enough, you've always seen the movie about how, oh, we're going to do this cook inlet subsidy, or we're going to do this thing. And don't worry, Fairbanks, we're going to do this thing. And then
it doesn't happen.
Then the phase two never happens. Yeah. The Fairbanks phase, you know.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We got some bumper music for you that I totally approve of. Pink Floyd, Run Like Hell. Then we got some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. And I'm going to give you some Pink Floyd. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming
Fox
live
News,
at KFARradio.com.
The Senate passing a $69.5 billion budget reconciliation package to fund immigration enforcement operations through 2029. After the votes were cast, the Senate made the announcement on this package.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 47. This bill, as amended, is passed.
So there you go, the count there. As gas prices remain elevated during this continued closure of the Strait of Hormuz, White House National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett on Fox says he believes the increase in gas prices is temporary.
It's our view that it's a temporary phenomenon that is a result of the president taking strong action to make sure that these lunatics in Iran don't have a nuclear weapon.
The May jobs report came out this morning. The U.S. economy adding 172,000 jobs, beating expectations for the third month in a row. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports as wildfire season approaches in interior Alaska, officials at the Fairbanks North Star Borough are getting ready to coordinate safety measures in the community. According to Luke Butcher, director of emergency operations with the borough, preparing for wildfires includes keeping an eye on weather conditions that may pose a risk. We're looking for warm days in the 70s or higher, he said, and we're looking for a wind that's 5 to 15 miles an hour, and we're really paying attention to the minimum relative humidity. So when you start seeing relative humidities in the teens is when you have the big potential for fire to take hold. Butcher said wildfire season typically begins between June 13th and 20th when lightning-based fires begin to flare up. Last summer was our biggest local wildfire situation ever in terms of evacuation responses. Not the most burned, but in terms of impacts on the community, said Borough Mayor Grier Hopkins. So no matter where you are in the state of Alaska, please be fire wise.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
2026 is now in full swing, and Fairbanks Urology, that means an 8-year anniversary of open doors and exceptional patient care. Fairbanks Urology, offering specialized care for men and women, and they're always ready to partner for an improved you. Even better, referrals aren't necessary. Appointments can be scheduled without a long wait. Fairbanks Urology, 1211 Cushman Street, right across from the City of Fairbanks Fire Station. Find them online at FairbanksUrology.com. Stop by and meet the team.
Care for your lawn this summer with help from Husqvarna Lawnmowers from the Woodway. Save time as you beautify your yard with Husqvarna Lawn Tractors and zero-turn mowers powered by Kawasaki. You'll love the quality construction and the perfect cut with heavy-duty fabricated decks and locking differentials. Easy to use. Drop by for a test drive today. The Woodway has the service you need with Husqvarna certified technicians. Care for your home and yard the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
It's a good time for a break, and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
The United Way of the Town and the Valley partners with 20 different agencies who focus on income, education, and health needs here in the Town and the Valley. One in four people in our community receive services from these agencies, and the United Way is here to help. The United Way of the Town and the Valley is also a partner with the Fairbanks Wellness Coalition, who is working to prevent the non-medical use of prescription opioids like Vicodin, OxyContin, and fentanyl, as well as heroin use. Visit UnitedWayTV.com to find out how you can help. This message brought to you by the radio station 529 Fifth Avenue.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Will Stapp in the studio with me. And, you know, I thought we'd have a commercial break while we're in the studio, but he didn't have a break. I did. He was texting and getting this done and getting that done. And I was, Will, I was going to tell you, I like what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing. Hang in there. You have a lot of experts out there. I know you can. You're going to be getting us. They've already. Glen Farms already committed to a spur line for Fairbanks,
mm-hmm.
And that was a big thing. That was my big thing.
Yeah.
And you've already accomplished that. So, you know, it, what the heck?
Yeah. And, you know, and again, people didn't realize, I think, at the, I mean, we were given a very low probability of success, I think, when we went down that endeavor, down that road, you know.
Yeah.
And,
a very low.
Yeah. You know. And I'm, and you know what? I mean, it's transformative for the town. And, man, I would be super optimistic. You know, so just so everybody knows, like, you, after this bill, they still do have challenges about delivering the project, though. So the property tax abatement is pretty key to the financing structure, but they still got to go through the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. They still got to fix the gas price to the consumer in phase one and phase two. So there's a lot of nuance here and depth, but. When I say, like, you know, we're all headed in the right direction, and as horrible as being a special session is, I just think it's better for the public to be able to watch and follow, you know. And people are going to see the people who actually want something transformative to happen in Alaska, and they're going to see people who don't, right?
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, so there's a line out there that says everybody supports the gas line, right? That's not true. Like, there are people that my colleagues, not so much in the Fairbanks area, I would say, but there are people in this state, even on the road system, that are
Bill Wilikowski,
yeah, and Kathy Geisel,
yeah,
and a lot of these Anchorage people. And it's kind of insane to me that a lot of these Anchorage elected officials, Kai Holland, hates the gas line, you know. And it's like, dude, like what are you going to do when you guys are paying Fairbanks prices down
yeah.
there? They don't care. They have a cooking that gas shortage.
What are you going to do when your gas supply comes from Fairbanks?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when we got to truck it all the way down there, we got to send it to the trucks all the way down there, you know.
Hello.
So,
you gotta goodness.
Yeah, we got to send in the trucks all the way down the Parks Highway or something, you know.
It gets nonsensical. But, you know, but prior to that, you know, you're on the finance committee. And this is what gets me, and I've said this on the air, and you're in the minority, and for the last 2 years, the majority in both the House and the Senate have zero accomplishments.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is their one. If they bring this one in, they go from an F to an A minus.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I will credit where credit is due. You know, okay, so I'll give you an example, right? Maxine Dibert, Representative Dibert, downtown Fairbanks, to her absolute credit on the Resources Committee, did a lot of work on the Fairbanks spur line bill, and even so did Mayor Hopkins. I mean, this is a town effort.
Mm-hmm.
And and unfortunately, like, not every town is like that. Like, I tell folks in Fairbanks, it's pretty obvious to me that, like, we are pretty unified on, like, what everyone knows the problem. Like, it's way too expensive to live here and it's getting worse. Yeah. But it's amazing to me that Anchorage is not like that, right? There are Anchorage people who are out to kill the project. You know, and the way they're going to kill the project is they're going to make up a lot of things about foregoing certain levels of government take. And don't get me wrong, like, it's important to be able to be the guardian of the Treasury and have a fiduciary responsibility. But, you know, when the most anti-development and when the people are the most skeptical on the gas line, like I said, Larry personally testifies. I straight up asked him. I said, Larry, this is a marginal project. He said, yeah. And I said, do you think it can be built under current tax structure? And he said,
No, absolutely
not.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the question becomes, you know, the current law would say you got to pay $600 million a year up front in property taxes. The developer basically wants to average that, obey that for a while, and then average it $47 million, and then it'll ramp up to the full value, $600 million in the 2030s, right? So you get the full value of the tax after the project's completed and it's actually selling gas, right? So now the argument is like, okay, well, is that too much, or is that not big enough? And the right answer to that question is you should try to make the economics of the project as favorable as possible, because that's what every other country has done in these types of LNG projects, yeah. Right?
And also, you have to be looking at Victoria, Canada, BC.
Yes.
And that to me is that's the competition. If we don't do this, they're doing it, and we've lost it.
Well, and like, there's a good history lesson there. So just everybody knows, like, when they started the Canada LNG project, the Canadians slapped a bunch of huge government taxes, carbon tax, you know, all this stuff on there, and then the project stalled out.
Yeah.
And in order to get the project, Premier Trudeau of all people, right? Justin Trudeau, who I'm sure...
To keep Alberta in the Canadian system, yeah.
Well, but I'm sure, you know, nobody's going to dispute the fact that...
He's quite liberal.
Justin Trudeau don't like the taxes,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They went there with the developer, which honestly is sad because it's Exxon and TransCanada and a bunch of the other people who tried to build our pipeline 15 years ago, you know? And they determined that actually, no, if this LNG Canada project was going to get built, it needed a tax abatement, it needed a cheap energy from BC Hydro, it needed a grace period. And then they went and built it. And now they're going into their own phase two, which will probably go to FID by the end of this year. And that project will be just as big as our entire project when they develop, when they expand it, right? So I tell folks, like, look, if the Canadians, of all people, who are no fans of tax abatements for producers, especially oil and gas producers, understood that in order to get a transformative project in British Columbia, that they had to kind of have a structure like that. It's really not unreasonable for us to take that position as well and know that they're a direct competitor. And honestly, if we fail on this project, we will be buying imported gas from Canada, you know, and that's a sad thought, right? So again, our position should be to take all the due diligence we need to have protect the guardian fiduciary responsibility of the state, and then to try to execute as best we can to move forward on a project that with a tax structure that meets the goals and aims of the developer, you know. So
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, other than the special session, how did the regular session go?
you got
a budget.
Yeah, I will say this, it's been a grind. This year has been probably the grindiest session I ever had. That's kind of the nature of the thin majorities. So you have two Democrat majorities in the House and Senate. Their houses
are... there's two Republicans in the House and about six Republicans.
Six in the Senate, So there's a handful of Republicans in the majorities, but it's almost prime Democrat-led, and you saw that in policies, you know. And, man, it's just like... And budget stuff, and I will say, like, a deep disappointment was we have a problem with the ballot initiative that was passed. It was the minimum wage ballot initiative, but it's also paid sick leave, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a mistake in the ballot initiative. Even the people who run it will say there was a mistake where they unintentionally benefited, like, temp employees for seasonal workers. And now all these seasonal workers are basically just quitting the last week of their work week and...
Taking off and getting paid sick leave,
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys aren't having any other types of benefits outside, you know, the kind of the negotiated contract with the company, right? So the issue is the workforce is getting obliterated in tourism and not so much construction, but tourism and fishing, you know.
Yeah.
And, again, the people who ran the ballot initiative were like, yeah, okay, we forgot to kind of exempt these people from it, right? So then, you know, we barely got that passed through the House. Did not get to the governor's desk, you know. So that's going to be a huge issue this season. And, like, to me, that was a no-brainer, you know. And I know it sounds bad to say, like, oh, paid sick leave. Like the ballot initiative itself still covers all the employers that was done. Like I said, this literally was fixing an unintentional loophole that was made through the ballot initiative process. And that's why, by the way, like...
You have to wait 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why you'd be effective January. You fix it, in, you know, the ballot initiative process, you know, but... So that's sad. You know, there were lots of, most of the bills I dealt with this year were, I mean, most of them I think were not that relatively trivial, but a lot of them were just bad, man. They were huge increases in regulatory costs. There were crazy ideas about doing massive taxes on throughput charges of cell phones and all this other stuff. And it was a lot.
Yeah. Right?
But, you know, at the end of the day, you articulate the best you can, you stand on principle, and you fight for the best things you think are going to do to make it easier to live in Fairbanks. You know, that's kind of like the fundamental question I always ask myself, easier or harder to live here.
There you go. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I'm Representative Will Stapp in the studio with me here. We're talking about many things of the nature of the legislature, and we're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's summertime in Fairbanks. Time to take care of winter's damage, like those trees leaning dangerously towards your house or car. That's unsettling. It's time to call Eric and his crew at the Great Alaska Tree Company. Licensed, bonded, insured, and professional. Great Alaska Tree Company are the ones to call to get the job done and done right. And it's more affordable than you would think. And one less thing to worry about. They'll haul them away, cut them up, whatever you wish.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate for your year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
There's fishing, and then there's dip netting. Frontier Outfitters knows you need to maximize your catch and that you're working against the clock. So they make it real easy for you to get what you need fast. Whether you're on a boat or shore, from permits to dip nets, they carry fighting handles, D-handles, and more. So your tired, numb hands can hold on when that big king tries to yank your gear into the river. Plus those poles and the extensions for those deep holes and replacement nets as well. Your next outdoor adventure starts at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
If I die young, bury me in satin, send me away with the words of a love song.
It's the 14th annual Backyard Country Barbecue featuring the Band Perry, Thursday, July 16th at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds, with special guests Trey Pendley, Kendall Marvel, and Ken Peltier. The Band Perry is bringing their Psycho Rodeo Tour to Fairbanks.
And let the stones say, here lies a girl who's only cuss. Wanna tell the grave digger that he's better dick too.
This is an all-ages show, the Band Perry. Doors open at 4, music starts at 5. Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. The Band Perry at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds. Presented by Tanana Herb Company, The Spur, the official after-party location, and Coors.
All I wanna be is done.
This is an Ericsson Unlimited event.
KFAR Weather.
Mainly clear overnight with a low of 47. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs around 67 Friday. Lows dip down to about 47 Friday night. Lots of sunshine Saturday with highs around 67. 63. Chance for storms Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Will Stapp in the studio here with me. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, another day in paradise. Baseball starts today, so.
There are good things to happen. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It's not cold. It's not overly hot yet.
Yeah.
The pollen is dissipating except for the pollen from the choke cherries. That's coming out now, but that doesn't affect me. You know, how long are you in town for before? Where are you guys reconvening in the house?
We're going back to Juneau on, I got to fly back to Juneau on Sunday night. Sunday, I'll be there Sunday night and start Monday, take up amendments to
for the duration.
Yeah, and then ideally, I think the plan is to vote on it in the House on Thursday.
Okay.
And then our kind of due diligence will be done, and then we'll see
how long. Comes of the Senate.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but yeah, I mean, and then that'll be. You know, and then just you do the waiting game. I know it's hard for the public to understand. Like, I have no control over the Senate. You know, I could talk to them guys. So,
ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Representative Will Stapp, and your name is?
This is Charles, and I think Fairbanks needs to show at least one neighborhood or area where it will be profitable for the gas to be delivered to.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Charles. So basically, the way you measure that is against the current IGU contract with Harvest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about $23 per MCF trucked all the way to the line. There's still extensive line build out. And the objective right now, the way the numbers looked with the spur line, even on phase one of the project, is you're going to be looking about $19 per MCF. So it's cheaper. It would be cheaper than what we're currently doing now.
Yeah, by 10% anyway.
Yeah, but that's just phase one. So when the project goes to export, we'll be down to $4 or $5. So it'll be...
Yeah.
And that'll take some time, you know, but just know like...
We need more private enterprise. We need more private enterprise in a capitalist free market system, not just crooked capitalism that I don't agree with. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Charles. You have a great weekend, buddy.
Yeah, no, and to your point there, Charles, no, you're absolutely right. And the best way you develop private sector enterprises, you get the input costs down, right? Mm-hmm. So I tell folks, a few years at $19 rather than $23, it's better.
And also, no matter what tax they're putting on this, the households are paying for it.
Yeah, it's a pass through the consumer. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that people got to understand. That's why it's different from oil, where all the oil flows out the pipe and goes out, right? Here, the project has two phases. Phase one will just be domestic use of gas.
Yeah.
So any cost you put on the project in phase one
is on us.
Yeah, you are going to pay. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to pay for gas we're going to use. So that's why the bulk of the
pay the state of Alaska. But no offense.
Yeah, no, we're gonna
steal screw that up too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, go blow the money.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, just so everybody knows, you know, we have a vehicle rental tax, like when you do Turo or when you rent a car at the airport. You know, that in law is supposed to go to tourist marketing. Guess where it's never gone.
Tourist marketing.
You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, no, the state is the pass through is not the way you want to do. Best impact for the people. You know, you basically, rather than collect the money and redistribute it back, you should just not collect the money in the first place. That's a way better strategy.
So, it'll be more effective there.
Yeah, otherwise it'll end in some road out in Petersburg or something, you know.
Yeah, there you go. So is there there's a 30-day window on this. Right now, you're at about day 15.
Yes.
And so you'll be done by Thursday, supposedly. So that's about day 20.
Yeah.
And does the Senate take up yours after that, or is the Senate working on something of their own?
Yeah, well, ours will go over to Senate Finance where they're working on it, and then they'll do what they're going to do, and then it'll go to the Senate floor and they'll vote on it. For changes, right?
Then you have reconciliation.
Yeah, we'll either have a conference committee where we reconcile the differences, or we'll be, approving the bill that they come back. And I don't know how that process is going to go, again, because I don't...
You might have a second special session.
Yeah, I really hope not. I mean, I don't think... Like, I honestly don't think that's required. And I'm a kind of due diligence guy. So when I say, like, there's a lot to get in here, but a lot of it's actually not relevant to the tasks that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Right. We're really just talking about a property tax abatement with a different type of volumetric structure. And if we were to do that, what are the pros and cons? The pro is you might actually get a project, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The con is you have to forego some state take, and you've insulated the consumers and the risk, right? So, like, there's really, like, no solid objection. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, I need to know all the financial details of the project. So that would be so the state has that option if they choose to be an investor in the project.
Yeah.
And by the way, Glenfarne has also given us the sweetest, insane investor option ever, which is basically after they get everyone else's money, we can opt in to the most profitable aspects of the project individually, right? Which I don't even understand how that would be that is amazing. Like, can you imagine that investor deal, Dave? You know, like, hey, I went out and I'm building like three different housing projects. And oh, by the way, this one's probably the most valuable. In this case, it's a gas treatment facility up on the North Slope. And you have the option to invest your 20% stakeholdership in any of these or all of them, pipeline, export facility, or gas treatment. And then we'll treat you just like we would any other fiduciary stakeholder. So yeah, I mean, those are all positive things, but it's kind of amazing to me that we have the option to invest in just the GTP, which would be the most, economically valuable aspect of the project, and not have to put up money against the highest risk part of the project, which is the pipeline itself, right? I mean, so that's kind of an amazing position that they've kind of worked with AGDC to do too, you know, so.
You could be an investor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. And again, that's an interesting thing to talk about, but it's also not relevant to the task at hand. The task at hand is like, okay, this are we going to do this type of abatement or not? And then talking about the equity stakeholder of the state and other impacts on the fields are relevant when they actually start building the project.
Yeah. Right?
because you're just not going to know the impacts to current oil and gas production tax or current liquids loss in Point Thompson and Prudhoe Bay and how that actually looks like on your revenues until they actually start doing it, you know. There's too many variables to kind of pregame any of that type of stuff. So if you watch Senate Resources, you know, they did 38 meetings. Most of them were on a bunch of topics that are really completely irrelevant to their control because, yeah, they're interesting. Like I would love to talk to some oil and gas expert on the potential liquids loss in Prudhoe Bay and Point Thompson and what that means to capital lease expenditures and what that means to oil development. But there's no way of knowing that until they actually build it, right? And like anything else in life, you hope for the best, prepare for the worst. So you keep the information there.
Yeah.
And you just know you might have to deal with a different problem down the road. But you're dealing with a problem that has a gas line. Now, like, that's a great problem to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, like whoa, you know?
It gets interesting. Well, we got about 3 minutes left, man.
Yeah.
I so appreciate you coming in and giving us an update because every day, you know, I wouldn't say every hour, but every day there's a new update, new information.
Yeah.
And just watching you here in the studio, sometimes the silence of your texting, I go, yeah, I know what this is about.
Yeah.
What the heck? As you just did.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Called you on it.
Busy.
You need a beer tonight. I'm buying at the baseball game.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be nice to actually do something fun for change. You know?
So we're going against our arch rival.
The Glacier Pilots.
I know.
Stomp them in the ground. You know?
I know. We haven't. Yeah, we played them last year and Now I think the world of them because we're finally playing Alaskan baseball teams.
I think if we could do Midnight Sun game with our Anchorage people, I mean, I
just always do that. Yeah.
I think that's an awesome tradition.
Yeah, but we're not doing it this year.
Yeah.
I know. But, hey, opening day.
Yeah.
Opening day at both parties. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think we should always – and we should probably try to end the season like that too, start off and – in start and finish.
And there you go. So. There you go. How are your kids doing? Did they enjoy Juneau?
They do. You know, they were super happy to be back in Fairbanks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, they did. Has a cute video of them jumping all around, loving the sunshine. Juneau's a fine place to go. I tell folks like January, February, March. But, man, 40 degrees and sideways rain gets old by the times it's April and May. You know what I mean? And June. You know? Now it's like June, and it's literally 40 degrees and raining today in Juneau. And look how beautiful it is outside here in Fairbanks, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, just the way it is. How's Bernard doing?
Bernard is excellent. He's my chief of staff. Everybody knows him. He's a very hardworking gentleman, behind-the-scenes compatriot. You know?
Yeah. He does well.
He's an excellent staffer. You know, I have nothing but praise. I've been blessed in life to find really talented people to be able to help me and do things. You know, Bernard's one of those people.
So. How's your insurance business doing with all this interruption? Most people don't understand.
It's hard.
Yeah, the give.
Yeah.
That you give.
Yeah, I mean, look, I reoriented my life and work effort to be able to do this and put a lot of effort into it. It does kind of suck being poorer every year, being an elected official.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my income now. I really am. Mine is going up very, very, very well.
And, you know, look, I've been blessed financially. I do fine. But it is kind of like, okay, well, you know, I'm doing this and it's like I make less money than I did the previous year. It's like that kind of, I mean, you know.
Yeah, Uncle Sam tried to explain it to him.
So sometimes you just sit there and you're like, So. Yeah.
I knew that feeling.
I'm doing something wrong. I got to do it like Nancy Pelosi or somebody. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Like, how do these people go into Congress and they come out like 10 times wealthier? Every year they came in. Like, what am I doing wrong? Dude?
Representative Stapp, thank you very much for your time, the effort you give. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I will see you on Monday. And I'll have John Lorkey with the Gold Panthers on.
Awesome.
Take care.
Thank you.